Well, it's good to be back with you again today. I had the dihecopotus last week and could not hardly breathe and had a lot of time trouble with my voice, so I'm thankful for God's grace in bringing me through that and it not being the COVID, it just being a cold. And so all of you are still safe. It's all right. But it's good to be with you today in the house of the Lord for the Word of God. Take your Bibles and turn with me, and we'll pick back up where we were in Romans 13 and verse 11. I'm going to back up and read verses 8 through 11. I mean 8 through 14. But I'll be commenting on verses 11 through 14. Hear the word of God. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly commanded, comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for this day. We bless you for our brother, the Apostle Paul, who, as an apostle, was given the task of bringing the Word of God to the Romans and writing them this letter, and it being a letter that is indeed for all Christians everywhere. And so we come to this Word asking, what is our duty? And seeking to follow in the command of our Lord. Not, Lord, in order that we may be found acceptable, but, Lord, because we have been found acceptable in Christ Jesus. You have received us as righteous because of your Son, Jesus Christ. And so we want to follow you. We realize the blessings you've already bestowed upon us, and we realize the salvation that has been granted to us, and so we just want to respond in love and do that which is our duty to do. We bless you for these words. We pray you'd give us grace and wisdom to understand them, and then give us strength to obey them. For the glory of Christ and the good of your people, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew Henry wrote that these last four verses are concerning four things, and I add to what he said, they're concerning our going to work. We're going to work. And with that in mind, he asks four questions. What time is it? Number two, how should we dress? Number three, how should we walk? And number four, what provision should we make? He wrote as the first one, when should we awake? What time is it? It's time to wake up. How many of you have remembered your mom or dad saying that early in the morning, every day? All right, time to wake up. We've slept the night, or at least we've spent the night. Whether you slept or not, I'm not sure. It's time to go. Get up. So there are four things that are addressed here, and they are spiritual ideas. The first one is, it is time to wake up. The second one is, we need to change clothes. We don't go to work in our pajamas. We shouldn't go to Walmart in our pajamas. We should change clothes. Thirdly, how should we walk? Paul talks about there is a way to walk. And then fourthly, what provision should we make? How should we provide ahead of time for what we're doing here? So with those ideas in mind, and I'll refer back to them here and there, we want to enter into our text. In verse 11, that knowing the time, it is the time, high time, to awake. See if I can get my notes together. The night has passed. The day is at hand. It's time to wake up. It's time to arouse ourselves out of inactivity and carnal security. Matthew 24, Christ gives a parable about 10 virgins who were awaiting the bridegroom to come, and they would go through the marriage ceremony. They were told to watch. But while the bridegroom tarried, all 10 of them slumbered and slept. Now 5 of them took and made a provision ahead of time and were ready. 5 of them did not. They all took a lamp, a lantern. We see that as being a lantern of profession. It is supposed to be a light, and it's showing that we have the light and we're ready for the bridegroom to come back. 5 of them took oil in their lamps. But 5 of them did not think ahead of time and put oil in them. So, while the bridegroom tarried, they all just went to sleep. At midnight there came a cry, "The bridegroom is coming." So they all got up and trimmed their lamps, got the match to them and started the lamps to glow. But the 5 without oil could not get their lamps to burn. And so they said to the other 5, "Give us of your oil so that we can go out and meet the bridegroom." And they said, we've got enough for ourselves. We don't have enough for you and ourselves also. But go rather to the market and find you some oil, buy some oil, and come back." But while they were gone, the bridegroom came. And those five virgins that were prepared went in with him to the marriage supper, and the door was closed. The other five came in later, wanted to come in, and they were denied entrance. But it's interesting to notice that all ten of them slept and slumbered. They were supposed to be watching. What I'm saying is, we all have the flesh. We are in the flesh. We get tired. We still have this sinfulness connected with us, and it pulls us down. We are given the commandment to put that aside and to watch and be ready. But all five of those, even saved young ladies, slept. The message to all of us is, it's time to wake up. The time of sleeping has passed. We need to arouse ourselves. We need to get ready, for the bridegroom is coming. Secondly, we notice that he gives a reason for why we should wake up now. Why should we get up? Because time is coming about. Our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. In the Amazing Grace hymn, it says, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. But the point is, we do have less days to sing God's praise on earth. We need to be doing it. We don't need to be sleeping. Our salvation now is nearer than when we first believed. Now that doesn't mean that we believed and we're waiting to see whether we get salvation or not. No, there are different aspects to salvation. And he's talking about salvation as our final deliverance from this world. Being ushered out of this world into the presence of Christ. It is nearer now than it was when I started this sermon.
That's right.
Let's wake up. Now I'm talking to Cliff first. Wake up. Peel the stuff out of our eyes. Wash our face. Let's get going. There are some who believe that our salvation is nearer than when we believed. They believe that that means the second coming of Christ. That is true. The second coming of Christ is now nearer than when we first believed. But the point is, that would not mean anything to the Romans there in the first century. He's trying to tell them, wake up. It's time to wake up now because our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And to them, that would not mean, well, you know, it's still 2,000 years off, but it's a little closer. It's a few days closer. He's not trying to say that. Even though that is true, that's not his message. His message is in the experience of your own salvation. When you first believed, and when your salvation comes to you finally, it's a closer point of time. Some of us, Rachel and Charlie, have just recently begun to believe. Others of us have been solid believers for a long while. I've probably been one of the oldest. That just means I've got more calcium buildup in my joints. But the point is, our salvation is near. And now it is nearer. How do you want to meet the Lord? Ready for Him? Or do you want to be asleep when He comes? Wake up, He says. Our calling home to glory is just around the corner. For some of us, that might be just a day or so away. For others of us, it might be 30 years, 50 years later. But whatever it is, you have one less day today to serve the Lord than you had yesterday on this earth. Thirdly, he says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. It's not nighttime anymore. The sun is up. There is a saying on the radio back up in the panhandle of Texas that says, it's get up. The best part of a golden spread day is right now. Wake up and see the best part of a golden spread day. It's the sunrise. And if you wait till 10 o'clock to get up, you've already missed it. Well, the night has far spent. Now, in Scripture, the night and the day, the light and the darkness are metaphors that are many times used to represent night as representing sin and darkness, day as representing righteousness and truth. What he's saying is the sin and the darkness of our lives has far spent. We've spent way too much time in that. Amen? We need to get started more on serving the Lord in righteousness and truth. We have been saved to live into the light of the world. Do our neighbors see the light in us? Night also represents ignorance of godly things, and light represents knowledge and understanding of those right things. So the day and the light of righteousness is here. It's becoming brighter. And therefore, let's prepare ourselves more for the day ahead. So it's time to wake up. Secondly, how do we dress? Well, it's a part of our sanctification. We're putting something off and we're putting something on. We're putting off our night clothes. We're changing our clothes. We're putting on the clothes of our working day. The night clothes would represent the sins of the flesh that we lived in once, but now Paul says, put off all these. We still have them abiding in us. They don't rule. They don't reign in our hearts. Absolutely. Christ reigns in every heart of every believer. So the light is already in us. But the question is, are we putting that light on more and more every day? And are we putting off the works of darkness? Or are you sleeping? One of the reasons why the Lord uses the metaphor darkness for sin is it's in darkness that most people want to practice their sin. You know, adultery doesn't happen in the bright daylight and everybody is seeing and watching and knowing what's going on. Adultery generally takes place in the dead of night, secreted away from the sight of others. People who are practicing the works of darkness do not want to be discovered. They hide it both from God, and they're trying to hide it from God. They're trying to hide it from men. Why? Because they are works of shame. But rather, the works of righteousness are works of truth. They are works that are to be done in the broad daylight. We should let our light shine so that men may see what we're doing, and that we might be thankful to God for what He's doing in our life and go forward not being ashamed of our works. Are you putting off the sins of the flesh? They're listed in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. 1 Peter chapter 4 also makes a remark about this. 3 and following. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they, the world, thinks it strange that you do not run with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Those are the things we're talking about putting off. We've already gone way too far in those. But rather put on the armor of day. Notice he doesn't say put on the clothes of day, but put on the armor of the day. Indicating that the clothes we wear are weapons to be used in a warfare. Some are defensive. We have a shield. We have our feet wrapped with the gospel and prepared for the gospel. We have all kinds of protective armor. But we also have the offensive weapon, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We're clothed with these things. We have put them on, and we should be getting ready to use them in a daily way. Now, I'm not saying that every Christian is called to be an evangelist or to be working daily in one-on-one personal evangelism per se, but every one of us is called to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, to put on faith, to put on the helmet of salvation, to dress ourselves ready to give an answer to people for why we have such a hope in Christ. Are you preparing yourself for that kind of a life? So look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 5 through 8. He talks about putting things on as ready for the light. You are all the children of light. You're children of the day. We're not of the night. We're not of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, sober-minded, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Be getting ready to walk for the Lord, to live for the Lord, to speak for the Lord when asked, and to trust in the Lord in every providence that God brings our way. I thank the Lord for Brother Robert bringing our Sunday school, dealing with these things of how to be content not only with who God is and who He is as our Lord and our Savior, but with what He brings about in our daily lives. We do have His Word, and it's hard enough to interpret the will of God in His Word, as was spoken this morning. We need to be studying that Word of God so we know exactly how we should be living. But we don't know what God is going to be bringing about in our lives until He brings it about. But when He brings it about, have you already settled it in your heart that Jesus Christ is enough for me? Whatever my God ordains is right. And it's good. And it's holy. And I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's hard. That's true, it is. If you focus on your affliction, if you focus on the trouble, if you focus on your issue that you're dealing with, but if you focus on the grace of the Lord and on who God is and who Christ is, what He's done for you, it makes things go a whole different direction where you can give glory to God in the midst of troubles. Then, thirdly, not only what time is it? Is it time to awake? Number two, how should we be dressed? But number three, how should we walk? Paul writes in Romans, let us walk honestly as in the day. Now the word as means, this word honestly relates to the day. The word for honestly is actually fittingly or becomingly, as it is fit for you now. Since we are in the day, we're not of the night any longer. We are of the day. Therefore, here's how we should walk. Christianity is exactly opposite of what the world thinks. The world thinks that we try to please God and we get so far and then the Lord says, okay, I'll bless you. Okay, I'll save you. But it's exactly the opposite. The point is, the truth is, that God blesses us, that God saves us from our sins without us even realizing we were there. And He wakes us up to the knowledge of who He is and who we are and how much we need Him. And He causes us to be thankful for what's going on in our lives. But once we are truly thankful, how is it becoming that we walk? What is becoming of a prisoner who has just been set free from prison? Would it be fitting for him to run back into a life of crime immediately? Especially if he had been, if he had had his prison sentence commuted, set aside. Now you're set free, go. And it's as the Lord tells us, and as He told the woman taken in adultery, go and sin no more. Don't walk like that anymore. You're children of the day. Walk as children of light, not as children of darkness. That's how we should walk, in response to His grace, not trying to earn that grace. And then He gives us the negative side. And I know if you're a psychology student, you're not supposed to major on the negatives, right? No negatives here. Well, I'm sorry, the Word of God has a lot of things to say negatively about our way of life. We need to pay attention to the knots in the Bible. Not, let us walk properly, honestly, as in the day. Not in wickedness. And he begins listing three pairs of sins. The first one talks about sinning in excess. The second one talks about sinning in wicked impurity. And the third is talking about sinning in pride and striving. The first one, in rioting and drunkenness, revelry, carousings, excess, excess of drink, excess of eating. Notice in 1 John 2:15 and through 17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away. Just like Paul said at the beginning of it, it's time. It's high time to wake up. Our salvation is nearer than when we believed. We're running out of time. And here, our walking should not be in excess. It should be in living for Jesus, a life that is true. Striving to please Him in all that I do. Not in rioting and drunkenness. Some translations have not in orgies and drunkenness. And I think that's all I need to say about that. Secondly, not in chambering and wantonness. That chambering is talking about the bed chamber. It's talking about sexual immorality to the hilt. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Chambering is committing adultery upon adultery upon adultery. And that's the way the world is. Wantonness is the whole atmosphere around that kind of a lifestyle of impurity and breaking of the seventh commandment. And Christ taught us that not only the actual act is a breaking of the commandment, but even a lustful look is committing adultery already in his heart. So Christ is telling us, and Paul is telling us, anything that contributes to and would lead us to adultery and fornication, we need to flee quickly. I want some young people to say amen. Please. We need younger. Thank you anyway. We need to flee fornication. Paul says, not in these things. Get away from them. In 1 Corinthians 7, he says, if you cannot contain, let them marry. Oh, that's the answer. Not let them play around, let them marry. You've got to keep doing that, get married. And then not in strife and envying. not in struggling and fighting and bickering. My siblings and I had a problem. And that is, almost every day there was a different one that was wanting to pick a fight. And the bad thing about that was, the rest of them are all too eager to join in. That's what envying is all about. Competition does not belong in Christianity. Not in envying, not in trying to get something better than what the neighbor has, but in being satisfied with Jesus Christ. These three pairs of words are interesting. There was a man by the name of Augustine, lived in the late 300s and died in 405, something like that. At the age of 32 in 386, he had been living a profligate, a wicked lifestyle. He thought that's all he might as well do, is just get all the gusto he could get out of life. One day he was wandering through a grassy place and there was a bench there. And he sat there for a while. And he was totally without any hope in his life, and he was probably considering taking his life, and he just threw himself down on the grass. And as he did, he heard a voice of a little child saying two words, "Tolle legi," which means pick up, read. And he repeated it, "Tolle legi." And he looked, and there was a copy of the Scriptures. As he picked it up and opened it, he opened it to this passage. And it said, "Walk properly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness." And I think he could hear his name right there. "Not in chambering and wantonness, Augustine. Not in strife and envying, Augustine." And he cried out to Christ to have mercy on him. And he found grace. These negative statements of the Lord were useful in converting this wicked sinner. And that's what all of us are until we come to Christ.
Amen.
His mother Monica had been praying for him for years. And praise God, he converted him and used him for much good in the church. Then the fourth thing that we have in this passage is, make a provision. Verse 14 says, "But rather put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust of it." We have already put Christ on in justification by faith, trusting in Him. But now in sanctification, follow suit. Heed His teachings. Be like Him. Read of Him. Learn of Him. Find out His character. And follow Him. Be holy as He is holy. In this way, already having been clothed in Christ, we put on the armor of Christ and we become like Christ. Are we dressed in love, in kindness, in forgiving one another? Are others seeing Jesus in your life? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. So this fourth thing is for the day ahead. You've woken up. You have put on the day clothes, your work clothes. You have seen the walking orders. You are to walk following the Lord Jesus Christ. Now make provision for the day ahead. Start mapping out your day. In mapping that day out, make it a day of following the Lord Jesus Christ, not following self. Yes, we have to make provision for this body. We have to provide for the needs of the flesh. But Paul says, don't provide for the lusts of the flesh. We need food and clothing and shelter. We don't need the lusts of the flesh. They will destroy us. If you belong to Christ, walk in Him. Put Him on this morning. Let's pray.